Okay, so we've just crossed the Charlbert Bridge, and I'm now properly in Regent's Park. The road we crossed was the Outer Circle, and there's a nice big map that will help us out. But as you're crossing the Outer Circle, and when you get to this side, you can look to your right, you look back, and you can see those some of those seven mansions, and they're pretty impressive. From this vantage point, but I think even more impressive from the other side of the canal. And you can also see on the map here Winfield House, which I believe is the American ambassador's residence. But now we've come to a kind of fork in the road. In fact, there are two forks in the road coming up, and in both cases, we're going to take the fork on the right. So the fork on the right will take us through the winter gardens, then quickly there's another fork, and that will take us down to the wildlife and fowl center. And at that point, we have got a decision to make. We could cross Hanover Bridges, Hanover Island will be there, and that would be heading really toward the western side of the Regent's Park. It's very close, but we're not going to do that. We'll be at they call it the Boating Lake, it sort of curves around, and we're going to walk on the north side of the Boating Lake, so that'll be a left turn for us, and we're going to walk toward Longbridge, and at Longbridge we'll cross at Longbridge, and that'll take us into the Inner Circle, and then probably we'll go to the right. But we'll do some exploring in there, and then I think in this case we'll probably come out at York Bridge and cross at York Gate, and Baker Street will be right there. So a very, very agreeable stroll. So yep, let's take the fork to the right. Things are in bloom. It's a visual treat today. Okay. I mean, we could be in Kew Gardens here. Flower beds all over the place. You can hear the birds in the tree. I haven't walked very far at all, but we've now come to our second fork in the road. And we're going to take the one to the right. Straight ahead are some of those playing fields, lots of them, ranging way out to the left. This is a big park. I forgot the exact acreage of it. I think it's over 400 acres. And way in the distance, I can see some high-rise buildings, so that's looking properly into London. But now I'm just forking to the right. It's a kind of arbor. Lots of trees here. Daffodils. It's a delight. And Londoners out with their dogs.
But I guess you want to get
everything about this is good. So again, a short walk, and now the lake, the Boating Lake, has come into view, and this is the point where, rather than turning right and going over the bridge, we'll take the long way around. We're heading for the Long Bridge. But look, I've thought of absolutely everything for you. You know what you've got here? You've also got Lou's toilets here. Now, admittedly, they are 20 pence admission, but you can just tap in with a card. Normally, I wouldn't... I'm not going to make a big deal on them, but normally it would barely merit a mention. But Lou's are a problem in London, public loos at this point. Everything is still locked down, although that's going to start easing off in 48 hours. Normally you can go into a pub, sometimes even into a shop, etc. But that's just not been the case. So you have to do a bit of planning, but you're okay on this lovely little stroll, this saunter. Because right here we're probably about two-thirds of the way through now. Relief is at hand. There's a There's a loo, and it's open.
Okay.
Now, in a sense, I've come to another fork in the road. Path that I'm going to take, the kind of long way around the curvature of the lake, is straight ahead. And it's immediately clear why the Long Bridge is called the Long Bridge, because the bridge that I'm not going to go across on my right is extremely stubby. It's a very, very short bridge. But you know something? I'm going to follow good London Walks practice, good guiding practice here. Even though I'm not going over the bridge, I'm going to walk out onto the bridge. It's literally a 12-yard walk from where I'm standing, just to see what I can see from there, to see if there's a really good camera angle that I shouldn't miss. See how it looks like, how things look from that vantage point. And now I'm just coming onto the bridge, and I'm very glad I did, because on the left is the most beautiful swan. He's just at my feet. And now I'm looking to the right, and I'm listening. And you can listen as well. That's a waterfall. I'm looking at a waterfall. And beyond the waterfall is another beautiful, tiny, arcing little wooden bridge. And the whole thing is kind of in a forest. It's wooded, there's lots of trees. So here I'm looking north. I'm going to turn and look back now. So I'm at the northern, effectively the northern edge, and here comes the mate, the partner of the swan. The swan's at my feet, and I'm looking the full length now of the boating lake. And I would have missed this if I'd pressed hard on and just gone straight in the direction that I'm going to take. But this tiny little detour has just been so rewarding. This is good London Walks practice. This vantage point, not to be missed. If I were guiding a walking tour through here, and in a sense I am, I would divert them. I would say, look, we're going to go up under that bridge. It's just a real treat, what you can see and hear from there. Carried on, still walking the long way around on the water feature, and I've come to a lookout point, and there's a sign. I love it the way they've worded this: the Regent's Park Waterfowl Collection. Images of, I'm guessing, 30 or 40 of different types of birds, and then a map showing where they appear in the wild, and you know, it's the United States and all across Eurasia, really. If we listen up, that we might hear some of them. There you go. There you go. Chattering away. It really is like being in the wild a little bit. It's quite special. Something very good about this. The little sign here says, tufted ducks like diving in the deep water in front of this viewpoint. How many can you see? I'm not going to count them, but I can see a few.
Okay.
Okay, again, another fork in the road, another Y turn, and a Y fork in the road, and I'm taking the one to the right, looking across these playing fields, which are to my left, way over on the other side, I can see the zoo. But lots of football pitches, a lot of matches, a lot of activity. And then here, close at hand, on my right, this waterfowl refuge. Completely lovely. And now we've come to another fork in the road, again I'm going to go to the right, but looking at 11 o'clock, slightly off to the left, there is the most beautiful stuccoed mansion, and I'll have to make investigations to see what the story is on this house. But I'm going to walk now and see if I can get up that way. I'm first going to, I think that's the inner road just ahead. So let's head up there. Okay, I've got to the inner circle, and now I have to make a decision. Directly across the inner circle is the open-air theater. And at this point, I can either go right or go left. Now, if I go right, that's the shortest way really out to Baker Street. It's not far at all. But I'm actually going to go left, and I'm going to walk maybe as far as halfway around the inner circle. It's not far. I want to get a look, close-up look at that beautiful white stuccoed mansion. It's called St. John's Lodge. And then I'm confident at some point I'll be able to dive into the inner circle proper and look at what's called Queen Mary's Gardens. So let's go along and see what we find. So I've walked along to St. John's Lodge, and I've come partway into the driveway, and it is just the most stunning house. And I'm looking straight ahead now on the inner circle, and up ahead I can see the British Telecom Tower, the post office tower, which is futuristic, even though it's now 50, 60 years old. London had never seen the like. And for the first year and a half that I was in London, I mean, this is a confusing place, I oriented by the post office tower. I was living not too far from there, and you could get your bearings by it. And now there's going to be, I'm pretty sure, a left turn, which is why I came this way. I wanted to see St. John's Lodge, but I think this left turning will get us into a secret place that's very beautiful and well worth visiting. Stand by. Yes, we've turned left through a gate, and it's bowered. There are flower beds on either side of this little footpath that I'm walking along. And I suspect that what we're going to get at the end here is another vantage point for looking at the stunning St. John's Lodge. Can you hear the birds? So coming up to the left turn, and I've come up into a secluded, almost a private garden. There's this kind of amazing statue with a round in the middle of a round pond in the middle of this garden. Beautiful garden, four beds with wonderful flowers. And sure enough, there's St. John's Lodge in the distance. Absolutely stunning. And down at the far end of this sward of green, of grass, there's six or seven Londoners, I suspect, seated, picnicking, even though it's quite a chilly day. And now it's time for me to take a photograph. And by the way, when you do this, I hope someone will do it, and maybe write to me and tell me what you thought. You must bring a camera, because there's a lot to see on this route. So let's stop the recording. Yeah, it's like a little chain of secret gardens. They're all connected. And what a perfect place to come sit down, reflect, contemplate, and just take in the green and the floral stuff, the statues you can hear underfoot, the graveled footpath that I'm walking on. There's about, I'm guessing, five or six of them. These little tiny secret places. secret gardens. Hard to find, really. It's just that one entrance in here, a few yards past the St. John's Gate entrance. Anyway, I'm turning around. I've explored all four or five of them, and I'm now going to walk back out to the inner circle. And what do you know? At the entrance, it turns out there's a very helpful little information board. It calls it the Garden of St. John's Lodge. It says St. John's Lodge was completed in 1819. And then Robert Weir Schultz was commissioned to carry out works to the villa and grounds, including making a garden fit for meditation. And that's what he's done. It says this garden is designed for peaceful relaxation. That was certainly my sense when I was in there. And it provides more information about the various statues and the different gardens. Absolutely a delight, a thrill to find. And it takes some finding. I can imagine that 9 out of people who come to Regent's Park never get here, never get to see this. So there's a helpful map here. And what I'm going to do is head right to the middle. The path I'm on crosses a kind of main path. I'm going to turn left, and I'm going to head for the Jubilee Gates. And then I'm going to come out. Regent's University in London will be on my right. And there's a little bridge, York Bridge. Cross out to it and York Gate. And then Baker Street Tube is not far away at all. So I've reached the crossroads, so to speak. Footpaths, really. Cross footpaths of Queen Mary Gardens. I'm right in the middle of it, really. Straight ahead of me, and slightly to the right is the open air theater. It's all signposted. Straight ahead is the Garden Cafe and the Boating Lake and indeed Baker Street. But I'm not going to take the most direct route. I'm going to turn left and I'm going to go down the Tennis Center and Regent's University, London. I can see Regent's University, London. It used to be Bedford College when I came to London. It was the women's college. It was part of the University of London. And in fact, one of my colleagues and dear friend and brilliant guide, Tom Hooper, the barrister, attended Bedford College. And the first time he told me that, I was flabbergasted because it was a women's college. And it turns out it went, as I don't think this word gets used anymore, but it became co-educational. Men were allowed, and he was in the first intake of male students. Badly outnumbered he was. He teasingly told me that was one of the reasons he plumped for Bedford College. But what a place to go to university, right in the middle of Regent's Park. Okay. So crossing the inner circle now, and I can see the tennis courts on my left, Regent's University London on my right, and it should be York Gate straight ahead of me. But what I will probably do is rather than come full on out to a London Street, even a London Street flanking Regent's Park, I think if I can, I'm going to turn right, and that last little stretch will still be in the park as I'm heading for the southwestern corner of Regent's Park, and that'll bring me out very near Baker Street. More Regent's Park amenities. It turns out there are 12 public tennis courts and 2 mini courts, floodlights, changing rooms, showers, adult and junior coaching program, cafe, hot and cold refreshments, and at the bottom in big boldface letters, everyone welcome. But the name of the tennis thing is Will to Win Regent's Park. And sure, their URL is www.willtowin.co.uk. So that's a bit of all right, isn't it? And look, we're coming up to another bridge. So yes, and another little turning. On the right, I've taken that. So I've not carried on straight ahead, which would have taken me over York Bridge and out to York Gate. But no, I'm going to, again, head a little bit back in, further into the park, not far, just a little way along. And then I'll turn right again, and I will flank yet another arm of the boating lake. And this is the home stretch, and I'll just follow that along until we come to the Clarence Bridge. And I'll come out there, and I'll exit the park at Clarence Gate, and Baker Street, the street itself will be there, and you know, very near, a couple of blocks away, to use the Americanism, will be Baker Street Underground Station, which is really one of the hubs, transport-wise, of London. There are a lot of buses back and forth and along Baker Street, including the 139 that we got on right at the beginning of this. But I'm going to the tube stop, and I'm going to hop on the Jubilee line. It'll be 4 stops to West Hampstead, where I live. Okay. Walking along, I've got this arm of the boating lake on my left, and then a sward of green, Regent's Park, and then there's a road, and on the other side of the road is stucco heaven, almost as far as the eye can see in either direction. Really the most beautiful terraces in London. Worth doing this whole walk just to get to this vantage point, but everything else that preceded it was wonderful as well. So here's Clarence Bridge. I'm walking across it right now. Across it, I'll turn right, and then I'll turn immediately left, and I'll practically be at Baker Street. Now, I suppose this whole thing has taken maybe about 3 hours, but it needn't take that long. I certainly have taken my time. I've dawdled. I suspect it could be comfortably done in 2 hours. I'll look at the statistics in a minute, but I'm guessing this will run to about 7,000 steps. Now, most walks are between 4,000 and 5,000 steps, so you know, you're going to be looking at 11,000 steps or so. That's your 10,000. That's what they recommend, isn't it? But it's not hard going, and it's so pleasing to the eye and the ear. It's not taxing at all. This is a really, really good walking tour. Now, again, if we think right back to the beginning, and I was thinking about people on the Beatles walk, if they want to get back fast, sure, go on the Underground. But if they've got time and they want to have an additional walk that's, you know, not with a group, and that is really special, every step of the way, that will show them, you know, lots of London that they're really not going to see otherwise. They're not going to do better than this. I really recommend this. Okay, and here we are. We're coming out. I'm crossing at the light, and It's Clarence Terrace, straight ahead of me. Well, slightly to the right. Again, stucco heaven. And I'll be turning left. And then it's just a straight shot, really, down to Baker Street. Where, you know what, I might take the 139 back. Although, if I want to go quickly, go the fastest way would be the tube stop. Come out, there's a sign, Oxford Street, Hyde Park. Oxford Street to the right, 3/4 mile, Hyde Park, 1 1/4 mile, Paddington, 1 1/4 mile. But yeah, here's where Park Road meets Baker Street. And the tube stop is 130 yards ahead, not far at all. Okay.